Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Joining us today via Zoom feed from Las Vegas, New Mexico, is Ronald W. Mestas, PhD, academic, a coach, a lifelong friend of the legendary running coach Joe I.V. Hill, who hailed from Alamosa. Mr. Mestas just recently authored the second edition of his book, Mi Buena Vida, a collection of family and friends who have influenced and inspired his life. Mi Buena Vida, my good life, my beautiful life. Ron, it's a pleasure to see you. Pleasure to meet you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. And I really enjoy your program. It keeps us people that no longer live in the valley pretty much in touch.
Hey, I really appreciate that. Thank you very much. And again, really appreciate you being a supporter and plugging into Alamosa Citizen from New Mexico. And one of the things I've enjoyed over the past couple of years in our communication, you and me, is your reflections about New Mexico, about the Valley, and recently about Coach V. Hill. You dedicated the book to Coach V. Hill and to another person I'm familiar with, Scotty Garcia. We'll talk about that. But before we go there, you had a last conversation. You're one of the last individuals I'm aware of who spoke to Coach V. Hill. Give us that sense of that conversation back a few months ago, what that was like, and then your thoughts upon his passing.
Well, you know, without Dr. Joe V. Hill, there'd been no Ron Mestas in cross country. He was a wonderful person, not only to his team, to his school, but he made the conference that much better. But Joe and I, for the last couple of probably 20, 25 years, had been in contact. He had to call me once a week. I'd call him the following week. I called him the last we was in the hospital, and he told me, he says, he used to call me John, and John was my brother, older brother.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the nerve to tell him, Coach, my name is not John, it's Ron. But he knew me as Ron, I mean as John. So anyway, I called him. No, he called me and says, John, I'm in the hospital. I've been here for 21 days. I don't know what the hell they're doing with me. So his humor was pretty strong. So after we talked, I called him about 2 days later. His cell phone didn't pick up. So I waited another 3 days. Cell phone didn't pick up, so I started getting worried. Well, his beautiful wife called me and she says, Ron, I know you've been trying to reach Joe, but he is now in hospice and he's no longer able to speak. But he did tell me to tell you that he loved you very much. Boy, I talk about getting an emotional experience. I really felt the love for him as he had shown for me. 2 days later, Carolyn called me and says, Joe passed away.
Yeah, July 2025.
And talked to my son, he lives in Albuquerque. I'm not able to drive very much. I've had a few medical issues myself.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, Dad, if you want, I will take you to the memorial. Well, we went, crossing the border there in the New Mexico-Colorado state line towards Alamosa. It was dark as can be. They were having a rainstorm. We got to the golf course, the Catskill golf course, And he asked one of the escorts there, several of the athletes were handling traffic. He said, "Can I move him up a little closer?" And the guy says, "Just hold on right here. I will get a golf cart and I'll take him to the starting line."
That's great.
Beautiful day for cross country, typical weather, whether it be rain, mud, snow, sunshine, whatever. But I was really glad to be able to attend. But
that was a nice.
He took me under his wing.
You were coaching at New Mexico State, right? You were coaching at New Mexico State, you were coaching at New Mexico Highlands, in Las Vegas, and that's really where you developed a coaching relationship with Coach Vigil.
Exactly. I went in one day to some of the runners that come to my office, they needed a coach, and I went over to see the athletic director, and he said, I told him, I said, I had a wrestling background. I would like to coach wrestling. And he says, "I'm not looking for a wrestling coach. I need a cross-country coach." He leans over to his bookcase, gets a little book and says, "Here, you're my cross-country coach. Now get the hell out of here, office, and get to work."
Well, you know what I remember too, Ron, and you know, I would go, I covered Adams State. I was actually the sports information director at Adams State in the early 80s during my undergraduate years. And so, you know, I got close to those cross country teams in 1980, 81, 82, 83, 84. And those are really good years. But I do remember that New Mexico Highlands turned out some pretty good runners and had some pretty good teams in that 80s era. So I'm going to attribute that to your success as a coach.
Well, you know, I quickly came to the realization that if you wanted to become the best, you had to go to the best places where Joe Vigil and Adam State were. I'd get his schedule, and I would make sure I'd go there, Western State, Air Force Academy, Southern Colorado. Joe and I would meet at a restaurant, have a cup of coffee, go for a jog. Well, his advice to me was, "Be careful, coach. Don't exert yourself." And he was huffing and puffing more than I was. But I would pick his brain and ask him what were his workouts. And he shared those workouts with me. And the first year, I qualified one single individual to the Nationals. His name was Lawrence Naranjo. By the way, I had four Naranjos on my team. Mm-hmm. I had five Romeros from Santa Fe High on my team. I had four Willies from the Jemez Pueblo on my team. All New Mexico products. And
well, that's why New Mexico Highlands at that period of time was good, because you were smart enough to go find those runners in New Mexico. And you talked about Santa Fe, you talked about Tosh, because there's good runners in New Mexico. And New Mexico does produce good athletes, good runners. You were able to tap into that to build success there at New Mexico Highlands University. Hey, I want to ask you, before we keep talking about running, I want to go back to your book, Mi Buena Vida, because what I appreciate about the book, Ron, is the familiar names, the familiar places, both from the San Luis Valley and New Mexico. When I say familiar to me, and I'm sure familiar to others, but I appreciate your reflection, your surfacing of these individuals in a book collection. And I appreciate the positive reflection that the book provides on Hispanos from the area who have made significant contributions to the world in their respective areas. We talked about Joe Vigil. You also in the book have Hank O'Gean, who is a big-time ad executive. You have, you reflect on Huberto Mestes. We know him here. We've had him here a few times, the artist Huberto Mestes. And it goes on and on. Your list, you have a lot of variety of individuals who made significant contributions. Why is this book, why did you do the book? Why is it important to you?
Well, you know, I'm a night owl. And when I was doing my doctoral dissertation, I would work at night, because if I tried to write my dissertation during my office hours, I'd never get it done. So I developed that habit of writing. Now in my older age, I'm going to be 80 here in a couple of weeks.
Happy birthday.
Yes, and January 23rd. Anyway.
New Year's, baby.
I wake up and I again put my 2-3 hours, and that's when I've done a lot of my writing. Genealogy wise, the other books I've written, I was fortunate enough in the early days when I got hired at Highlands, I got in communication with the president of Microsoft company. I became a beta tester, and when he unveiled the Windows 95 at the Astrodome in Texas, Houston, Texas, I was one of his platform guests.
Nice.
As a beta tester.
Very nice. You know, and, on the genealogy, this is a question I've been thinking about for you specifically, because maybe you can answer this. And I haven't done this research, so I don't know the answer. But typically, you see the name Mestes, your name, M-A-E-S-T-A-S. Huberto Mestes spells it the same way, M-A-E-S-T-A-S. However, my sister-in-law, my brother Vince, who's 82, my brother Vince married into the Mestes family from Antonito, and they spell it M-E-S-T-A-S. There's no A in there. So I always wondered the distinction, or when a family dropped the A from the Mestes name and went with Mestes versus Maestes. See what I'm saying? I don't know that. I never got to ask my sister-in-law. She passed away a couple of years ago. My sister-in-law, Esther, I never got to ask her that. But I noted that when, and I don't know, that's interesting to me.
Well, let me give you a quick answer. I've traveled to Spain, and in northern Spain, Asturias, and there's Oviedo, and there's a community called Mesta, Mesta, M-E-S-T-A. So it was not uncommon for people to refer to people from the region as I have even Los Martinez, Los Mestas, and Mesta, Maestas, M-A-E-S-T-A-S, as well as M-E-S-T-A-S, prevailed.
Interesting.
Well, I've done genealogy for 55 years. I've written over 180 full genealogical studies. Some of those are 500 pages or more. I have one line, the hills that were in the San Luis Valley. My great-great-grandmother was a Vigil, and I traced her background to Charlemagne. I was probably one of the first individuals in the United States to be inducted into the Order of the Crown of Charlemagne.
Wow.
Because of my research. I'm also in line. I've been nominated for the Orden de la Isabella la Católica. It's an honor that King Juan Carlos bestows on some of our people in New Mexico. Keep in mind, New Mexico and Colorado were separated by an imaginary line.
Right. Colorado needed some more territory for its statehood, so they took the valley.
Right. So, todos somos primos, okay? So, Frank Maestas from Esther and Arlene,
their
family.
Right.
They were Maestas.
Right. Gotcha.
So, I guess it's a matter of spelling and so forth, but we're all from the same area.
I really appreciate that explanation and distinction, because that was I've been curious about that, and I thought you would have a response or help me understand that. And Frank Maestas was one of the original cattle ranchers here, one of the original.
Exactly.
I mean, he had a lot of land, and they still run. His son John Maestas still runs cattle in the Sanford area. Just really quick on my end, just because we're talking genealogy, and I thought about this as you were talking. You know, I'm a Lopez. My dad is a Lopez. My grandmother was a Trujillo. My dad's mom was a Trujillo. My mother was a Salazar. My grandpa Salazar. And then my mom's mother was a Sandoval. So we have Lopez Trujillo married, Salazar Sandoval married, and then my mom Salazar married my dad, Lopez.
Well, you mentioned Salazar. You know Kenneth Salazar?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Senator and former ambassador to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
His sister is married to my brother-in-law.
I'll be darned.
Marvin Manise.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a major story, genealogy, 500 pages on the Salazar. We're all related.
I'm going to tease you here for a minute, Ron, because I was, again, looking at your book. I've looked at it since you sent it to me a few weeks ago. And, again, I appreciate it, and I really enjoy flipping through it. I really enjoy that, I ran into some people that I haven't thought about in a while. One of them being who you have in here, Ruben Archuleta, who I knew as a police chief in Pueblo when I was working at the Pueblo Chieftain. So your book has helped me go down memory lane that way, you know, as I note some of these people. But one of the things that you put in the book that I read and I winced. I said, no, don't do that. And I'll just read it to you. Because you talk about Coach Vigil. And you talk that he was a child. The child was subsequently raised by his mother in the poor Hispanic south side of Alamosa. And that's where I winced, because growing up in the south side, being from here, never, ever considered ourselves poor. Never considered ourselves, you know, not equal with anyone else. And that was the one part where I was like, I don't like labels.
Well, are you familiar with the Maestas case?
Oh, yeah.
I have that family in my genealogy. And that picture of him that was being used, Martin Gonzalez, was part of the committee.
Uh-huh.
And the story on him is that from the standpoint of educational segregation, was the oldest, first case in the United States ahead of the Brown versus the state of Texas.
Right.
Mendez versus the state of California.
Right.
But that Mendez case, Maestas case, remained underneath, you know, silent until Martin Gonzalez, Katie Dachson, we formed a committee, we worked on that, we got that maquette at the judicial complex. It's a major story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is a really good story, and I was actually doing a little bit more research on it, because through the Colorado newspaper, there's a really good archive system within Colorado and printed newspapers that really take you back all the way to that era. And I really have enjoyed reading some of the articles from that case that you read as they were being reported at that time in the local newspaper. So I find that the reading interesting, and the historical reflections on the history there, I find that all fascinating. And of course, you know, my own father, born in Alamosa in 1921, was born into a Spanish-speaking family. My dad's primary language was Spanish, right? And my mother, because in those days, in the 20s even, when you were born in south side of Alamosa, you were born into a Spanish-speaking family. That's what they spoke. That was the primary language. And it wasn't until they start to go to school that English surfaced as their second language.
Well, you do realize that even today in Alamosa, there is a Mexican cemetery, then there's an American cemetery.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've been writing about that and have been visiting with my childhood friend, Frank Boogie Romero Jr., he's running that. He's caretaking that Spanish cemetery, which is a really good thing here to see Boogie Jr. being a caretaker of the Spanish cemetery, because his mom and dad were part of that society, part of that group that helped bring that forward and helped take care of that through the years, right?
Boogie gave me my first work study job at Adam State. As I've kept in close contact with him, but let's get to the subject of Joe Villa.
Yeah, let's do that. Let me take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break. We want to hear from one of our sponsors, Lore Foundation. We're going to take a quick break, Ron. We'll be right back. This is the Valley Pod.
It's been a tough year for many folks in Monta Vista. As the holidays approach, a lot of us are feeling tired or anxious, but good things are still happening all around us. This year alone, the Lore Foundation has partnered with your friends and neighbors to bring more than 75 community-driven projects to life, making things a little brighter here at home. Lore Fund's ideas designed and led by Monta Vista locals of all ages, no nonprofit experience required. Whether it's helping neighbors save time or money, supporting families, or creating something that brings people together, your ideas can make a real impact. All it takes to get started is a simple conversation. And once your idea is approved, most projects receive funding within 30 days. So let's close out the year stronger together. Visit lorefoundation.org or email yvette@lorefoundation.org to learn more.
Well, let me tell you, I think New Mexico was very good to Joe Villa, because he was able to attract the best runners in New Mexico, Robbie Hipwood, Peter Graham, Robert Ferguson, Jerry Arguijo, Simon Gutierrez was there at one time. So I had to rely on the people that were either second, third, or fourth place at State Meet, because Joe, across the country, was the best recruiter. He was like a Pied Piper.
Yeah, he was. Let me ask you this about Coach Villa. We're talking to Ron Maestas. What did you think about his intensity? He was an intense guy when you were around him, right? I mean, he was a focused person. And he talked that way.
Intense. He was smart. He was a genius. You know, every time he was selected to the Olympics in Beijing, he sent me a bunch of photos, sent me his picture of the coaching staff, sent me a couple of T-shirts. He took me under his wing, you know. And again, I give him all the credit in the world for my success.
What was it like for you to be mentored by him? Because I know you hung around him a lot. I know you picked his brains a lot. I know he gave you a lot of advice. What was that like? Just that mentoring.
It was amazing, because He had a worldwide reputation. And to be from Antonito, me and Romeo, mm-hmm. and Scotty Garcia from Alamosa, I don't know if you caught the pun in the book, but I called him the Tres Amigos.
Right.
But I had a really, really close relationship. I still remain in contact with Scotty. One of the things
that maybe you can shed some light here, one of the things I'm aware of with Scotty Garcia, and this is Scotty Jr. His dad was Scotty Garcia also. But one of the things I've heard, and I don't know much, but he was trying to start a Latino Sports Hall of Fame here in Colorado, I believe. And I don't know that ever got any traction or anything like that. But I always thought that was an interesting, worthy idea that he was pursuing at one point.
I'm on a committee to get that Latina Hall of Fame. The Colorado Sports Hall of Fame, of course, has been very limited. Other than Jovi Hill, Corky Gonzalez, and so forth. But the project, you know, he lives in Florida now.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I talk to him on the phone, he wants to go back to Colorado. And because we got this unfinished project, you know, there's some people like Sam Montoya, Pablo Vigil, the Vigilantes, they came to be known as the Vigilantes. Several of the runners, Zoya Gomez, all those people need a recognition in terms of what they accomplished.
Well, no, again,
the Pat Porters of the world, yeah, he was a great runner. But one thing I accomplished over Jovi Hill is I had success with Native American runners. One time he had a guy by the name of Jeff Turninghart.
Yeah, I remember that name.
North Carolina.
Right.
He was beating Pat Porter, hands down. In a month, all of a sudden, he went back to South Dakota.
I remember that.
A four-time All-American. Could have been a four-time individual national champion.
Yeah, I remember him. I remember him. As you brought that name up, I remember that when he came to Adams State and was running on that team, and he was very good. He's a very talented runner. I'm glad you brought him. And again, Ron, this is what I appreciate, what you were saying about the need for a Latina Hall of Fame. And I think you have a good start of it, or you do a good job of that in reflecting with your book, Mi Buena Vida. I think that book serves as a good foundation of names, individuals, people who have made, again, significant contributions. And you're talking sporting world. I'm talking sporting world and life in general, right? And you are too. But I think that's a good idea, a good project. We'll see if it ever gets
there.
Thank
you. It means a lot to me here. Your statement, you know.
Well, you know, I'm always partial to my father Carmel, who I've talked about and I talk about a lot. But I'm always partial to him in this conversation because of his life. Born in 1921, one of Alamosa's very first great athletes, basketball, football. All-State guard, 1939, Alamosa High School Maroon State Championship, went to Adams State on a football scholarship, played football for the Grizzlies, for Adams Indians at 2 years, and then his junior year, war broke out, and my father left the campus of Adams State, as did many Hispanics in those days, and joined the Army Air Corps, became a glider pilot, flew in every major mission in World War II as a glider pilot, came home, had 11 children with my mother, had three businesses, my father, Carmen Lopez, I'm always going to put at the top of that list when we're talking about influential Hispanos that come out of the great San Luis Valley.
Let me give you another name out of La Jara, Colorado. Joe Ignis Lucero.
Joe Lucero. Yeah.
And Joe Ignis Lucero has been rejected for membership into the Colorado Hall of Fame. So that's one of the reasons why we're not only promoting Hispanics, John Esquivel from
good runner from
Trinidad.
Right.
Ski ball. Remember ski ball?
Oh, yeah. I like so that. There's another guy like Dan Garcia, who ran for Pueblo East, came to Adams State and was really good in that same era, Dan Garcia. You and I could keep going on and on about names worthy of consideration, right, for a Hall of Fame type of nomination. We could go on and on, you and I. Unfortunately, though, we just don't have that much time, Ron.
I understand.
Yeah.
By the way, Ruben Ochoa was from Ogote, just west of Antonito.
Yeah, I knew, and he knew my sister-in-law Esther Mestis, because we've talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
When I was working in Pueblo, and he was working with the Pueblo police. That's how we made a connection. And in the world of journalism, it's helpful to make connections like that, because then it helps you in your own work. So I've always appreciated people like Ruben and all the others who accepted me as a journalist, as a reporter, as a writer, and told stories to me. And I've always appreciated that. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do and the stories you keep alive. And we got to keep the Joe Vigil story alive as we keep moving through this century. Right, Ron?
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to wrap this one up. We're going to catch up to you again in 2026. We want to wish you a happy birthday and wish you a Merry Christmas to you and your family there in Las Vegas, New Mexico. And I hope to see you sometime in person. I'll try to maybe make a trip to Las Vegas. We'll go have coffee at the Spick and Span there. How about that?
That sounds a winner. It'd be my treat.
Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod in our episode with Dr. Ron Maestas, PhD from New Mexico Highlands, friend of my cousin Ray Martinez. We keep going on about this, Ron. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. Ron, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Marty Jones, host of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. Join us every other Wednesday as we talk to outdoor enthusiasts, wildlife experts, recreationists, lovers of the outdoors, and people who spend their days and their lives outside. On the Outdoor Citizen, we talk all things outside and outdoors, provide you with the latest data and measurements for water and weather, give you upcoming outdoor events, and keep you up to date on the latest news. The Outdoor Citizen is brought to you by the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, enjoy the out of doors.